Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us this evening, this Sunday, April 13th, 2025, and spring has sprung. It's just a beautiful time of year.
Yeah, beautiful flowers, trees, dogwoods, redbuds.
It really is.
And the redbuds are actually purple.
Yeah, I asked you about that the other day. I said, I don't think I've ever seen a redbud. And you said, well, they're not red. I think you mentioned that a week or so ago, too. But, you know, it's really good to be here. We're grateful to Ray Powers for allowing us to be on this program each and every week. Last week, we were moving along, and we almost ran out of time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. And, you know, it's funny because I guess the computer would just kick us off when the time comes. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really good to be here to talk about the Word of God, to open God's Word each and every week. And it's such a blessing to be able to do it.
You know, Mark, it seems like in the last number of weeks, no matter where our ministry takes us, whether it's teaching Bible study at church, where it's doing our Wednesday night studies, where it's doing the radio program, where it's doing personal ministry, it's all about the time that we're living in.
Yeah.
Is Christ coming again?
I believe he is.
Look at what's happening in the world.
And, you know, people are really, I think, eyes are focused more on that type of thing now than probably ever in my lifetime for people in general. You know, when I talk to people that aren't even, they might not be what we would call Christian folks, they don't go to church, they'll say, something's different about the world today. Things are changing. And you can see that. You know, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, Ed, but it seems like even the plants are almost out of sync. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, things that normally bloom in the spring are blooming in the fall.
Yeah, it's unusual. Yeah. And so, you know, these are some of the composite signs maybe that we started talking about last week and we'll continue this week.
Right.
But before we get started, tell us a little bit about this ministry.
Well, we're just a small little ministry that God has put together. It's not us. He's just brought us together. I don't know how or why, but here we are together in Stanton, Virginia at 1743 West Beverly Street.
Yeah.
And we have a little church. We have a house next door where our office is, and we have an apartment for guests above. And we just try to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to make people aware of the way of salvation.
Sure.
And also to preach that this world's not going to last forever. We need to be ready.
And we make it a point, Ed, to preach from the Bible.
Yes.
Rather than from our heart. And, you know, we share our testimonies from the heart.
Right.
But what I believe doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says that matters.
The Bible will make more of a difference in someone's life than you and you or I can by preaching.
Absolutely. You were sharing some testimonies that you had watched.
Everywhere I look, whether it was 200, 300, 400 years ago or today, it's the Word of God, the Bible, that changes people's lives.
Amen. Amen. And so that's why we come together each week. We come together on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. And we come together, when do we come together on the weekends?
On the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday.
The biblical Sabbath.
The day God rested after he created the earth.
Yeah, the day that Jesus went to the synagogue and taught.
Yeah. So we have a Bible study at 9:30. That's available via Zoom or live stream, and we have our worship service at 11, which is live streamed.
And all of those times are Eastern Time USA.
Yes.
So, you know, and if you miss the worship service, we do archive those sermons, not the whole service, but with those sermons you can find on the website at prophecyhope.com. And if you go there, you type in, there's a search bar, you'll see on the left there's all kinds of different topics. These programs, radio programs, are archived there also. But if you go there, type in the search engine if there's a topic. And if there's a topic that we haven't spoken about, which there are many, send us an email and we'll be glad to, we'll try to do something on that topic or around that area.
Right.
And so if they send you an email, Ed, how would they do that?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. Or you can send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. And Let's see. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else that we need to talk about before we get started?
I don't think so.
I think that's it. Oh, one last thing. If you would like a copy of the Bible,
yes,
because we want you to open the Bible, this is what we're talking about, getting into God's Word. If you'd like a copy, send us an email, and we'll try to mail you your own personal
right.
copy. So I think that's about it. Ed, would you get us
sure.
started with prayer?
Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful again for your Word, the Bible, and for the information we can gather from it that tells us about your love for us and tells us about the times we're living in. Father, as we study your Word today, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand what you're reading, to be able to apply it to our lives today. And Father, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week we actually started reading Matthew chapter 24. And why was Matthew chapter 24 the focus last week? What does Matthew 24 kind of speak about?
Well, the disciples, after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they're at a site where they're overlooking Jerusalem and they can see the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask Jesus, "What are the signs of your coming?"
Yeah. And some Bible say, "And the end of the world."
Yeah.
So, and we talked about this a little bit last week. The prophecy that he gave had to do with not only his time, the end of Jerusalem as they knew it,
right,
but also the end of the world.
Yes.
So it was not only the end of the age that they were living in, so to speak, but he was also talking about the end of the world. And we started covering some of those verses.
Right.
And I think we got through about verse 15. And then last week, right at the end of the program, when we realized we were out of time,
yeah,
you took us to Daniel chapter 2.
Right.
Do you remember where we were?
Yes. We were in Daniel chapter 2. And the reason we went there, because we're talking about the signs that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24, and we're applying them to the day and time we live in right now.
Yeah, and in fact, Jesus said, I think this is what it was, I had read Matthew 24:14, which says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." And then the next verse says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains."
Right.
And I mentioned that the fact that Jesus proclaims Daniel a prophet,
yes,
solidifies for me that I can trust the words that are in Daniel.
Right.
And then we went back to Daniel.
Right. You know, in the United States right now, it's April 2025.
Mm-hmm.
There's much conflict in the United States.
Yeah.
There's such a polarization between basically political, but also
sure.
has religious implications.
Absolutely.
Depending on what party, if you support any party, what party you support.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went here because I want people to understand that God is in control.
That's so important.
And I want to read verses 20 through 22 of Daniel chapter 2.
Okay.
It says, "Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his.'" Now remember, this is the story of Nebuchadnezzar, who had a dream, who couldn't remember the dream, and not only wanted to know what the dream was that he dreamed, but also wanted an interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And none of his magicians and astrologers and all his wise men, they had no idea how to do this. And so King Nebuchadnezzar ordered that they be put to death.
Right.
And Daniel was part of this group of men, one
yeah.
of his advisors. And when he found out, he went to the king and said, "Give me some time." And he gathered with his three friends, his three Hebrew friends, and they prayed to God and asked for God to reveal this to him. And so now Daniel is back before King Nebuchadnezzar, and this is what he says. "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for his wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And so he's praising God because it is God who has given him the answer to the king's demand, actually.
Sure.
He removes kings and sets up kings.
Yes.
God has put in place throughout the world, not just in the United States, people in political power to accomplish his purposes.
Yes. And
his purposes involved the removal of sin from this world and our lives. And that can only happen when Christ comes again.
That's true. And, you know, you might say, you might look at whatever country you're in and say, how could God be in control of this? Well, sometimes God can use a negative thing to bring about a positive.
Right.
In other words, I tend to be more dependent upon God when times are not so good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
When things are going really well, I just have to be honest with you and myself.
Right.
When things are going well, I don't seem to pray as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's a need, I tend to rely or lean on God. We should be leaning in on God every day, no matter what our circumstance. So God can allow things to happen to us sometimes that will draw us back to him, that, mm-hmm. because that's what he wants.
Right.
He wants us all to be saved. What choice will we make? And this understanding and belief and knowing that God sets up these kings and he removes kings, this whole thing is about saving humanity.
Right.
He wants all to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. He's not going to make you do it.
Jesus wants to save you from your sins,
yes,
not in your sins.
Yes. In fact, go ahead.
And so the things that are happening in this world, we see prophecy being fulfilled in Daniel and Revelation and in Matthew. God is allowing or setting these things up to happen so he can finish this plan of salvation, the redemption of the world, the redemption for you and I.
Yeah. I don't think you can put enough emphasis out on what you said. Jesus wants to save us from our sins and not in our sins.
Yes.
I can't be saved in my sin. I have to be willing to give it up. A good friend of mine, I've often heard him say this, and it makes more sense to me now than ever. Jesus came to save us from ourselves because we're inherent sinners. And I naturally, because I'm a sinner, my inclination is to want to do the things that I want to do rather than what God wants me to do.
Right.
So this is what you mean when you say he came to save us from our sins. He wants us to be transformed, to be
yes.
changed from doing the things that I want to do to just doing the will of God.
Yeah, I was reading about that this morning in my personal study in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6.
Mm.
Doing away with the old way of living, the
yeah,
old man.
I love that text.
Putting on the armor of God.
Amen.
You know, letting Christ work in you, be taught by Christ. That's what it actually is talking about in
sure.
those chapters. And so that's the way of salvation. Is it necessarily easy?
No.
No. Will it change you if you want? Oh, it will dramatically
Absolutely.
Change your life.
And in a tremendous way. Sometimes we might look and say, well, you know, I've looked at the life of Christians and I like what I do. Well, that's that selfishness coming out.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just look at the life of the Christian and how the joy that they have in doing the will of God and the freedom that we have to do those things, life is so much better.
You know, I was I talked to you a little bit before we got online here. I was watching some testimonies last night. And these are men who are in prison, many of them for the rest of their lives. One of them said, even though I'm prison and not free, I'm for the first time in my life actually free.
Wow.
Free from that old way of living, from all the sin that was in my life, and for all these things. This man is still being held accountable for the choices that he made, for the actions that he
sure.
did. But now he understands he has freedom in Christ Jesus.
He has
and
a
he
hope.
Can live life differently.
Absolutely. and he can make a difference in other lives.
Yes, exactly. And that's what much of the testimony was. It's not only what has happened to them, but now they want to share this with others, to lead others into the way of salvation through Jesus Christ.
The hope is tremendous. You know, I can't imagine living in this world in the conditions. I mean, we live in the United States. We live in a beautiful place. We talked about that last week. But seeing what's going on when you turn on the news and you see these things, I couldn't imagine not having the hope that I have that God's going to fix these things. You know, he can fix your heart today.
Mm-hmm.
And he can fix our attitude today. And that's really a big part of it. If we all lived according to what God's will was, the world wouldn't be in the turmoil that it's in now.
Yeah,
we would still be born into sin, but just think of what the world would be like if everybody kept God's commandments.
I had a conversation with a man the other day. And he was talking about, he's a part-time preacher, a minister, and he has a member of his church, a very small church like us,
mm-hmm.
who is has some developmental issues, and he will speak out and ask questions right in the middle of his sermon.
Oh, wow.
And he says, then it turns more like into Bible study.
During the sermon time?
Yeah. So he asks a question that really was almost like, if God is so much love, why are these things happening in the world?
Mm.
And so we talked, I just shared him my viewpoint. Well, if no one will ask the question, do you love God?
Hmm.
The Bible says if you love God, you'll keep his commandments. If the world loved God and kept his commandments, this world would be totally different.
Amen. It really would.
Everybody wants to blame God. But God has given us the freedom of choice. And unfortunately, most of the world chooses wrong.
You know, that's really a great way to look at it, Ed. You know, if God loved us, well, how can we? He loves us.
Yes.
He's given us everything.
What more could he do? He gave us his son when we were enemies with God, when we were sinners.
So how can we not love him for doing this for us? And you're right. If we loved him, that's what we're told in, I think it's 1 John, we would keep his commandments.
Yes.
And in the book of John, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
So, yeah, it's amazing. So
the world that we live in now, God has put into place those that he wants in power and to accomplish his purposes.
Mm.
Some people may look at the current administration as their savior, as changing things from what they view as sin and evilness, which I can't totally disagree with. The other side views it as overwhelming, trying to control their lives.
Right.
But just because you view this as something positive, don't be misled.
Right.
Don't put your faith in men. Put your faith in God, because this administration can bring out things that are against God's law as well as for it.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I think that in this world, we tend to put our trust in the people that are at the helm because we see them. It's in our face. And that's the thing. If you're not reading God's word on a daily basis, God can get pushed aside. We have to remember, God is in control. Whether I said this to a friend of mine, this text that you just read in Daniel. A friend of mine says, you need to vote, you need to vote, you need to vote. He was telling me that. And I said, look, do you believe what the Bible says? And he says, I do, and I know he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, in Daniel, we're told that God sets up kings and God removes kings. Whatever my vote is, whatever it is, if God is truly in control, is my one vote going to make a difference in God's grand scheme? And what if I vote against the person that I want might not be who he needs in office at that time to accomplish his purpose? Now, I'm not discouraging people from voting.
Right.
But I'm just simply saying that I think we put too much importance on what happens now than looking at what the Bible says, what is eventually going to happen.
Let's say this current administration brings out new laws that seem to promote God and His commandments.
Right.
What if some of these laws are actually against God and His commandments?
Yeah, what are we going to do?
What are you going to do? The whole world's looking at them as a leader in this.
Right.
What are you going to do? What choice are you going to make? Do you know what is right and what is wrong? Do you know what God's Word says?
You know, another thing that it seems like everybody's pulling for is quote-unquote unity.
Yeah.
But, and you know, that's probably eventually going to happen. The world's going to come together in
right.
some way. But Jesus said He didn't come to bring peace.
Yeah, He came to bring a sword.
That's right. And so for those that are going to stand with God and His Son, we're going to look like outcasts. We're going to be looked down upon.
We're going to be going against the law of the land.
And that seems odd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to, you know, we pay Caesar's things to Caesar,
mm-hmm.
but God's things to God. So we want to live according to the law of the land, so long as it goes along with what God has put
right.
in place.
Right. I think it's Peter that told the Jewish leaders, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much that can be said about this. Even in 2 Peter, and I don't remember if we read this text, 2 Peter chapter 3.
Okay.
Because it goes right along with not only the time that we're living in, but the things that we're pointing to in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says this. He said, "Beloved, I now write you the second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds,
mm-hmm.
I think that's important, by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." This is a judgment message.
You know, when Christ comes again, there will be people that will welcome His coming.
Yes.
Most of the world will not.
It's going to be a sad day for many,
yeah.
but a day of rejoicing. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
And this is what we've been talking about, not only here on the program, but even in our Bible studies that we've had.
Right.
Are we ready for that? I think that was one of our program names.
Yeah.
Are we ready? Our lifestyle will show. What are we living for, this world, or are we living for God's new world?
Yes.
That's really what, and that's the thing. If my personality is conformed to the personality of Jesus, if I just follow Christ, I can be ready for that new world
yes.
even today.
Because of the gift of God given us through His Son, the gift of forgiveness.
Amen.
Because of Christ's blood shed on the cross, as well as the gift of the Spirit of Christ in our hearts and minds, empowering us.
That's what changes us.
Yes.
That's what allows us. That's what causes us to be able to overcome mm-hmm. in a world of such opposition.
When someone preaches the gospel, it makes you realize where you are in your life in relationship to God and His Son.
Mm.
It may not feel good.
Right.
It may make you recognize your need that by myself I can do nothing, but there's hope in Christ because God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. We can have forgiveness of sins because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross, and we can have a changed life. We can be baptized into Christ, die to sin, and raised to a new life in Him.
Amen. Ed, I've heard you give this account a couple of times about someone that, you know, I don't feel worthy.
Yes.
And How does that go, you know?
Well, you know, when people hear the gospel, they and understand that God's commandments are still intact.
Mm.
It's a guide not only for our lives, but it will be the standard of judgment.
Yes.
And when you realize, you look at your life and you're honest about how you live your life and what's in your heart, you may feel like there's no hope.
Mm.
And there's a man that I read, a book that he wrote, and he tells those people that feel that way how fortunate you are.
Fortunate that you recognize your need?
Yeah. Fortunate that you're the one that Christ came to die for.
Mm.
You're the one that he wants to give a new way of living to.
Mm.
Jesus didn't come to save the righteous.
The Bible tells us that.
A physician doesn't go to heal someone who's not sick.
Very true.
You know, the Bible says, well, we were yet sinners. When we were enemies to God, that's when he sent his son to die for my sins and your sins, to reconcile us to God and to be saved by the life of Jesus Christ, the life that he wants to live within us.
You know, I just want to read that text that you just quoted. It's in Luke chapter 5, just so people can see this. Luke chapter 5. And this tax collector, it says, all right, here we go. I'm just going to read. Let me just get, for context, I want to start in verse 27.
Okay.
After these things, he, that's Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Yes.
So that this is the text that you're referring
right.
to. So how grateful these men should be that he's there, because he's making a provision for them,
mm-hmm.
for me, for you, for mm-hmm. all of us. And if we don't recognize our need for it, then we're never going to latch on to it.
Right. We're never going to accept the gift.
Yeah. It's something that's free. God has given it to us. You know, you don't force a gift on someone.
Mm-hmm.
You hand it to them, and either they can receive it or not. The Father and His Son have given us the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive to get us out of this condition that we were born into.
Right.
And so, you know, I can't state it enough. God is in control. But he's not going to take your choice. You have the freedom to choose. And we're living in a time period, whether Jesus comes in our lifetime or not, Ed, it's important that we make a choice now.
The end of sin will come about.
Yes.
The end of those who love sin will come about.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to choose? Do you choose to follow Jesus Christ and the power that he empowers you with to overcome sin in your life, to be a new man, a new creation in Jesus Christ, or to desire to follow Satan? And, you know, it's just the downward spiral when you follow him.
Sure. A pastor that's kind of a mentor to me, I know him personally, and I heard him give a sermon one time, and he was talking about, you know, even if, let's just suppose, for the sake of argument, for the sake of those who don't believe what the Bible says, even if it's all wrong,
mm-hmm.
if everything in there is wrong, wouldn't your life be better if you just lived the way Jesus lived?
Yeah.
Your life is, you're going to be have less disease, you're very likely going to live longer, you're going to be happier, people are going to like you because you're treating them with the same kind of love that you want to be treated with, right? It diffuses so many problems. Even if none of these promises are true, living the life the way the Bible says is going to make my life better right now. But the thing is, and he made this point, it's not just for now. It's forever.
Right.
Because Christ gives us eternity. He gives us eternity. And not in the world that we live in today. No. Not in these conditions. If some people look and they say, well, I don't want to live forever. But if you had no sickness or no death, no health issues, and you felt good all of the time, and who wouldn't want that forever? Right. So, you know, it's just, I don't think that we may think about it on that simplistic of a level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we complicate things. You and I were, just before we turned the mics on, we were talking about that while doctrine is important, it's the relationship with Christ that's the most important
right.
thing. And just recognizing our need for him in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't know. These things, if we just recognize God is in control, he removes kings, he sets up kings. So we look at it on a local level just with me, but he's working on a worldwide scale.
Yes.
And that brings us, I think, back here. We were talking about the gospel being preached in all the earth as a witness for all the nations, and then the end will come.
Right.
So God has a plan.
Everyone's going to be given the opportunity to make an informed choice.
That's why the gospel has to be preached.
Right.
And part of preaching that gospel isn't just the words we say.
Right. It's living it.
Right. It's allowing people to see our life as a demonstration of the difference it can make.
Right.
In not only your life, but those around you.
Right.
So where are we picking up, Ed? We
Let's
were in
go
Matthew,
to Matthew
24.
24. Let's go back there.
Matthew chapter 24. I love this chapter. I think I said that last week.
Let's go ahead and read verses 15 through 20 of Matthew 24.
Okay. Are you reading or am I reading?
You go ahead and read.
Matthew 24, beginning in verse 15. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, this is Jesus' words. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in a holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
So here we have many warnings in these verses that you read.
Mm.
Matthew 24:15 would involve a totally different study.
Yes. It's referring to Daniel chapter 9 there,
yes.
Isn't it?
And so basically it's talking about someone who substitutes himself for God.
Mm.
When you see that happening, you know, let you understand what's going on.
Yes.
He says, then let those flee in Judea, flee to the mountains. He talks about not taking care of any of your stuff. Don't worry about your stuff. Just, you know, flee. It says in verse 20, pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
What day is the Sabbath day?
It's the seventh day of the week. It's
Saturday.
The day we call Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think this is very significant, Ed, because this verse comes up quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus here is he's prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, look, be ready, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, being ready. So we had mentioned earlier that he was not only prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem, which was in 70 AD,
right.
but he's also prophesying the end of the world. But let's just back up for a moment and say, for the sake of the argument, because people do this all the time, he's talking about 70 AD. Even if that's what he's talking about, Jesus died many years before this, mm-hmm. about 40 years before this. So for those who use the argument that because Jesus died, the Sabbath is done away, why would he waste his words saying this if he knew that 40 years later, why would he be saying, pray that your flight not occur on the Sabbath, right. if he was going to do away with it?
Right.
He didn't do away with any of the commandments. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath stands. It's there. And this is the commandment that, let's face it, is all of my life until about 20 years ago, I completely disregarded it mm-hmm. because I was taught by my church that it wasn't necessary.
Right.
But according to the Bible, all of God's commandments will stand forever. They will always be.
Now, the day and age since then, since Jesus' prophecy here, there have men who have changed the Sabbath.
Yeah, they've attempted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They declare that they have changed the Sabbath from Saturday, the seventh day of the week, mm-hmm. to the first day of the week, Sunday.
Right.
So what do you do if the world that we're living in, they create a law saying, not only saying you have to worship on Sunday, but you have to work on the seventh day of the week?
Well, we have to put God before men, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we mentioned earlier in this program here this evening, we mentioned that, you know, we pay Caesar's things to Caesar. But if it goes against the law of God, we have to put God's law before we put Caesar's law.
Right. These laws have already happened.
They have, yeah.
Constantine wrote a law to that very saying, that not only do you have to worship on Sunday, the veneral day of the sun,
right.
which is paganism, but that you have to work on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day.
He did that in 325, I believe it was, 325. It's either 321 or 325. I get those two dates mixed up. But yeah, he did. He signed it into law. And, you know, it's amazing that that was about 300 years after Christ had ascended to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so Christians through all of that time that worshiped the true God, that kept the commandments of God, were still keeping Sabbath hundreds of years after Christ had died right. and was resurrected. And those who truly believed what God's word said and understood it would continue to keep the Sabbath through the generations.
You have to understand the penalty that was associated with that. It was your life.
You could be put to death over,
yeah.
over keeping God's fourth commandment holy, right?
Today, in this world we live in, at least in the United States, there are laws promoting the keeping of Sunday.
Yeah, they're called blue laws.
Blue laws.
In this country.
Interesting in blue, because blue represents, in the Bible, the law of God.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And, go ahead.
So, you know, everyone has to make a choice who you're going to obey, because who you obey is who you worship.
Yeah.
You know, there's a church that claims they have the authority over the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And as proof of that authority, they give proof that they have changed the day of worship from Saturday, the seventh day, to Sunday, the first day of the week. And that's the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, they claim authority to be able to do that.
Yeah. And they claim that's their mark of authority because the whole world practically follows them. They bow down to the Catholic Church. They follow the law of the Catholic Church.
And many people don't even realize this.
Yeah.
You know, keep in mind that the Protestant churches, those who came out of Catholicism, they're part of that belief structure. So coming out from there, what happens? They bring many of those beliefs with them. Mm-hmm. And then as they studied the Bible, they began to say, wait a minute. And that's why we have reformers, right?
Yeah.
Because they realize this isn't going with what the Bible says. And so it's been a process. There have been people throughout the generations, through the years, even through the Dark Ages, that knew and understood, and it was passed on to them to keep the commandments of God.
Right.
But many of them were put to death through that time period called the Dark Ages,
yeah,
because
of this great tribulation that's being talked about in verse 21.
Yes, it was a great time of trouble. And there were millions upon millions of Christians killed because they didn't want to compromise.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep the commandments of God.
They refused to follow that papal power.
Right.
And that's who it was. Let's be honest about what
happened.
Sure,
we have to be honest.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we're not talking about people who are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of my family, being of an Italian heritage, they're Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But as they study and read the Bible, they recognize, wait a minute, there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here. And this is why we encourage you so much, friends, to read the Bible, because just as Catholics typically follow the Catholic Church, I followed the church I was born into. Ed, you followed the church you were born into. Right?
And we both, when we started reading the Word of God,
yeah,
found out what it really said versus what my church
right
said it said.
And our churches, the churches that we were a part of, had distanced themselves from Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still, you can't follow a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't state that enough. I mean, I realize that people who are Catholic, they believe this is the true church. I believed that about my church, too.
So did I.
And I found out I was wrong,
mm-hmm,
that the church is not teaching things according to what the Bible says. Ed, you come from a church that kept the Sabbath.
Right.
But they were worshiping a false form of God.
Yes.
I went to a church that understood that there's one true God, but they obliterated the fourth commandment about, mm-hmm, the Sabbath. So the devil doesn't care what ditch he gets you in.
Right.
As long as he gets you off of that road of life, that's all he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And all Christ wants is for you to be on that road, that narrow road. He wants you there. And it's narrow because the whole world is against us, let's face it. Those of us who want to follow Christ, the whole world is marveling after something different.
So we were talking about those dark days where the true followers of God were being put to death. And Matthew 22 says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved.
Mm.
But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And they were shortened because of the Reformation.
Wow.
Where God's word could now be read by the people themselves so they would know what truth is.
Right.
This is one reason why it's so important to read the Bible for yourself, to know for yourself what it says. Be honest about what it says.
Sure.
If you want to know the truth, look in God's word.
Amen.
And so this is what shortened those days of tribulation.
Yes.
Because the truth of God's word was being preached.
So I want to make this clear, because some people are saying, wait a minute, I thought there was going to be tribulation at the end of time.
Oh, yes, there will.
There will.
Yeah.
Remember, Jesus' prophecies span the world scene, right? There was tribulation in 70 AD.
Mm-hmm.
There was great tribulation during this dark age time. There's also going to be a great tribulation or time of trouble at the end of time. And it's going to be very similar to what we saw during the Dark Ages.
Right.
I can't imagine, Ed, that it would span that amount of time. I think it's going to be very short,
right,
at the end of time, because of how information travels and how laws can be enforced so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't want to take us off topic, but talking about laws being enforced quickly, you know, many years ago, if a law was passed, it would take a while. It would have to circulate and, you know, for people to conform, it might take some time. But how quickly did they pass this mandate, at least where we are, about these masks,
mm-hmm,
back in 2020? How quickly did that happen?
Right.
Overnight. Literally, we went in this community, and I never thought I would live to see this in the community where we live. We live to having the, from having the freedom to be able to come together and worship and sit wherever you want in the church, mm-hmm. to us having to mark off rows and have people separated. The government was mandating that.
You know, the Bible talks about prophecy in the United States specifically, mm. in prophecy in Revelation 13 at the end of the chapter. Mm. And this has been known for a long time. And we have preached this in some of our evangelism series. And there was a friend of ours that would laugh and said, "That's impossible. The United States is founded, one of the founding principles is the freedom of religion." Mm. When COVID came, he stopped laughing.
Yeah, he said, "I think there might be some truth to what you guys have been preaching."
Yeah.
So
people say, there's no way in the United States, because we have this founding principle of freedom of religion. Well, that's going to be taken away.
It is. This is a prophecy. You know, these words of Jesus, when he says something, it's going to happen.
Right.
Maybe not the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
It might not happen the way I think it's going to happen. And, you know, that's the thing. When we're talking about prophecy, we do have to be cautious. Because if we set ourselves up to say, well, this is absolute, it's going to happen exactly this way, we better be careful about that. But if we go by what we see in the past, mm-hmm. by what God has shown us from the past, and we can apply that to now, we get signs, mm-hmm. of what it's very likely going to be like. I think we just talked about this in Sabbath School, Daniel chapter 3.
Yes.
And what took place there. We talked about that just about a week ago. And, you know, it's amazing that those type of things, what happened in Daniel 3, will likely happen again.
Right.
This forced worship. Nebuchadnezzar had set up that image, right? And then they were told when to worship and who or what to worship. That's going to happen again.
Yes.
And it might not be the same way that we saw there, but there you will see marked evidence that this is happening.
Right, right. So going on in verse 23 of Matthew 24, it says, "If any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe it.
Mm.
For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so much that if it were possible, they would deceive even the elect." The Bible talks about Satan representing himself as an angel of light,
mm.
to deceive the world. And it states that he has ministers that do the same.
Right.
So what if Satan impersonates Christ coming again?
Well, I mean, think about, I don't think that we think about these things. In the days when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, you know, those men at that time could do miracles, what we would call miracles.
Satan has great powers.
Yes, he does. And if you remember, when they threw their staffs down, their rods down, they became serpents.
Yes.
Well, that was by the power that Satan had given them.
Yeah.
And then when Moses threw his rod down, what did it do? It devoured those other serpents. It turned into a serpent and ate those, and he picked. So God's in control.
Yeah. God gave Moses and Aaron a couple of signs to prove to Pharaoh, mm-hmm. that it was God who had sent them. And one of them was to throw the rods down, they turned into serpents. Well, the Pharaoh's musicians did the same thing.
Right.
But God's serpents ate the other serpents.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the water to blood.
Yes.
Right? That was another one.
The musicians did the same thing. Yeah. So Satan's very powerful. So one of the warnings here is, if someone tells you Christ has come, then beware. False Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. If it's possible, they would deceive even the elect, the very smartest, most intelligent people.
So, Ed, I get this question all the time, and I know the answer is right here. Mm-hmm. The question is, well, if it's going to be that easy to be deceived, how can I not be deceived?
By knowing God's word.
Amen. By knowing the word of God. And so when you see these things happening, you see miracles happening, and somebody says, well, look and see, I'm the Christ. Only I could do these things.
Yeah. Healing people, raising people from the dead maybe even, or pretending to.
Right, making it appear as though that's happened.
We know that when someone dies, they're asleep.
Right.
They have no thoughts. And Satan doesn't have the power to give life.
No, he does not.
But his demons can impersonate people.
Absolutely. Surely they can. And so we look at this and we see, they can deceive even the elect if it was possible. And Jesus says, I've told you beforehand. Then he gives us more information.
Right.
And I love this next part. Are we ready to read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
It says in verse 26, Jesus speaking, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. And then he continues, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. So, when it says this about, look, here he is in the inner chambers, or there he is, why are they not to believe it?
Because it's not true. It's a false Christ.
Yeah.
And it's deception.
It's deception, and he makes it clear. Look, when I read this account, you know what I see right here? He says, and let me just say this. We've only got about 5 minutes left, but in the church that I grew up in, I was always taught something about Jesus that just, it's not even here in this text.
Right.
I was taught that he already came. Well, we know he already came, but I was taught that he already came again, but it was secretly. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what this is warning about.
Bible says, beware if they say, behold, he's in the secret rooms.
You see, and that's what I was taught all of my life. I believed that. And then I'm reading this account one day. This was 25 years ago, Ed. I'm reading this account. I said, he's telling me not to believe what my church is teaching. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what he's saying. Don't believe it. And then he gives the reason why. He says, as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And I said to myself, well, where does lightning flash? It's in the sky.
Yeah.
Lightning flashes in the heavens. So when Christ comes, his feet never touch the ground.
Yeah.
And how do I know that?
1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
That's exactly. Well, and what's it say there, Ed?
Well, let's go there.
Do you have that?
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks, basically here, Paul is trying to comfort people who have lost loved ones and letting them know that they'll be raised to eternal life when Christ comes again. Verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you be not grieved, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will also bring with him all those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Talking about when Christ comes back to heaven from the earth, he's going to bring the dead with him who have been raised to new life. Verse 15, for we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming Lord shall not go before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord.
So there it is. When Christ comes back, he's not going to be walking on the earth at that time.
No.
We're caught up to meet him. The dead in Christ will rise. There's going to be a mass resurrection of all the righteous people who have died. They'll meet him in the air, and then we'll be caught up. So if people are saying to you, I'm the Messiah, or I'm this, or that, it's a deception.
Right.
It's a deception. You have to know what the Bible says. This is your point, Ed. Know what the Bible says. Read it.
There's going to be a huge emotional, physical, visual deception. And you're not going to be able to withstand it unless you know God's word and the truth therein.
And
there
have
that relationship with Jesus Christ.
And look, you're going to likely see things to say, this, I've never seen anything like this. It might be scary, and it might even make you feel like, well, maybe I didn't read the Bible right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know, you have to know what you believe. You have to know. And if you're just following your church and you just believe what they're telling you, you don't know. You're just listening to what somebody's telling you. You have to know God. You have to know Christ. You need to know the voice of God and His Son.
Yes.
And I can't state that enough. We've got less than a minute, Ed. Are there any, before we close, are there any concluding remarks that you'd like to make?
Don't be afraid.
Mm.
If you're in Christ Jesus, you have nothing to fear.
There you go.
These things are going to happen. Maybe in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Maybe soon. The important thing is be ready. Be ready. Make that choice to follow God and His Son, to accept that gift, that free gift of salvation through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So, friends, that's great. That's great advice, and it's right from the Word of God. You know, read your Bible and understand it. Ed, we have to close with prayer.
All right.
Father in heaven, it's such a blessing to be able to open your word and just see the promises that you've made and the prophecies. And Father, I just ask that you help us to open your word, read the words on the page, and not be deceived. Help us to be ready for the coming of Jesus, whether it's in our lifetime or whether it's after we pass. And Father, just please prepare our hearts now for the things that are coming. We ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thanks for the study. We'll pick up here next week. What were you going to say? Oh, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, what do you always say?
Well, you just read it in 1 Thessalonians, yes. Didn't you? So, friends, we do hope to see you next week. If we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.
Amen.